Welcome to another episode of Autismable Dance, Life with Autism, from a parent's perspective. With each episode, Rob and I talk with media professionals, business owners, and nonprofits to discuss what they are doing to help families get the services they need and how the public perceives autism. We also talk with other autism parents and autistic individuals about their life and autism. For those that don't know me or what we are about on Autismable Dance, allow me to introduce myself. My name is Joel Manzer, and, well, I'm the founder and lead editor of Autismable.com. Autismable is a site where, well, anyone can join, share, and connect with others in the autism community. You probably didn't know this, but your favorite autism bloggers are most likely on Autismable, along with several autistic individuals and organizations that are also a part of Autismable. And we'd love to have you join in as well. To learn more about autism from parents, professionals, nonprofits, and more importantly, from those who are autistic. Now, I'm just one neurotypical autism dad, learning more about autism, primarily so I can learn more about who my son is. Why would you want to join? That's up to you. Anyways, join me on Autismable.com. I look forward to meeting you. Hello and welcome to the next episode of Autismable Dads. So, last Friday I released an episode of the podcast where I encourage anyone to just get a diagnosis. Now, a while ago, however, I shared that the grief is real. It was back in Season 2, Episode 10. In that episode, I discussed the reality of being a dad of a kid that is not neurotypical. Now, as I shared in that episode, the grief is very real, but we have to remember that the grief that presents itself has nothing to do with our kids, but with the concept of what is perceived and expected to what became in reality. Now, I share these stories not to obtain any sympathy, but to provide context as to what many families go through on a daily basis. You see, while a mom and dad try to figure out what's going on with their kid, they're also trying to navigate their own relationship, like anyone else. The constant bombardment of the phrase divorce is ever present in a marriage, with the world regularly showing us how many relationships just didn't make it. Recently, this past week, we heard that Jason Momoa and Lisa Bonet just announced that they are splitting up after 16 years. No one really knows what causes a couple to call it quits. Only they do. The rest is just speculation brought upon by the media in the eternal search to get those ratings. Now, it's all too easy to compare one's own relationship with another couple, as that is like comparing apples to oranges, isn't it? After all, not everyone is a Jason Momoa or a Lisa Bonet. Over a dozen years ago, it was assumed that divorce rates of the parents of autistic children are as high as 80%. I even fell into believing that myself. However, let's provide a little reprieve on that note. The divorce rates of autistic kids are more like 64%. The myth, the preconceived notion that the 80% of parents of autistic kids become divorced, has been debunked. I share a link to a WebMD article on that matter in the notes. Now, this just means that there is a bit more hope in this area than popularly expected. Being a parent of an autistic kid often brings about another layer to the relationship, that of a caregiver to a loved one. Now, this role is often shared between the mom and the dad, and as such, there are significant challenges that must be overcome. Now, I'm, 25 years of marriage, and being a dad to a nonverbal autistic kid, I am by no means perfect. However, allow me to share a few tips that have helped my wife and I out as we've navigated being special needs parents. Now, first and foremost, regardless of the diagnosis, your kid is still amazing. They have hopes, dreams, aspirations, and they love you, even if they don't say the words. Just remember to be open to just hang out with them. Your presence speaks volumes to them. Often you don't have to say a thing. Now, because of that, you'll discover more about them as an individual. Now, here's the next one. Number two, remember your spouse, not just as the baby mama or the baby daddy, but as an individual. As we get inundated with information and plans of action to take, remember that your spouse is still going through their stuff. They need you to recognize them, to see them, to listen to them. Make it a point to have a day together. Steal a few hours to go out to eat or see a movie or to just be together. It's easy to view your spouse as a father or mother of your child. Just don't forget how that child came to be in the first place. The love between the two parents. Remember to regularly nurture that relationship. Now, this next one's for the men. Yeah. Guys, you know that project you needed to have done for so long? Yeah, it can wait. Seriously, it can wait. If it's for your work and you have deadlines, just recognize that whatever you're doing, nothing is as important as being there for your wife. Now, this means that going out with your friends or doing those things that aren't helping your spouse when they need you most need to be reprioritized. In short, just make sure your priorities are in order. Now, this next one is easier said than done. It's honoring your word. Now, I have a cousin who taught me at a young age, years ago, to do something that even my parents never cared for. And as I got older, although it was funny at the time and I still chuckle about it, it is something that I'm regularly working on. Now, he told me that whenever my parents asked me to do something, to tell them, I'll do it in a minute. The sad reality is that I never really did most of what I said I'd do. Or it would be much later, anywhere from a few hours to a few days, if I got to do it. Let's just say, when you say you're going to do something and you do it, it builds trust. Not doing it tears any trust you've built down, and you have to start from scratch again. So that old adage of let your yes be yes, your no be no, and then followed by the action of what you say you're going to do, yeah, makes so much life so much easier. All right, here's another one for the guys. Listening fixes so much with little effort. We all need to be heard, and some of us have more words than others. It's also easy for us men to fall into the trap that when their spouses start to talk about something, they are really just trying to verbally work through what they're dealing with. And us men just tend to go into Mr. Fix-It mode. Now, gentlemen, there is a simple solution to many things your wife is going through. It's a two-step process. Shut up. Listen. Yeah, that's it. It's amazing what can happen. Now, there's a little trick that I found that helped me out early on, and I still utilize this. I usually have something to drink, a cup of coffee or bottle of water, something. And whenever I feel like I need to speak, I'll just take a sip and just listen. Now, there is a level of activity in the listening. You have to be, you know, an active listener. Just do so enough that she feels heard and that you are listening. It's just amazing to me that listening by itself is a fantastic tool, and it can fix so many challenges. Now, here's something for both moms and dads. Never assume. Seriously, don't assume anything in a relationship, no matter how long you've been married. Never assume it. Now, I say this because I have a question here, or a couple of them, several, in fact. Ever expect something from your spouse and it never gets done? Then you fester and the anger starts growing as a result? Yeah. Did you tell your spouse what you expected? Or did you assume it? For those that know me, you know I often will ask, well, did you tell them? Often when I'm speaking with someone and the phrase, they should know, comes up. Yeah, if you're going to assume anything, assume your spouse knows nothing. Seriously, we're clueless. I can speak from experience, I'm clueless most of the time. And sometimes it's okay to be completely clueless. Just don't assume anything. Seek the answers, ask the questions, and make sure you understand. And at the same time, on the flip side, make sure that you're laying out the expectations on the specifics. Now, my wife and I have had this discussion many times over the years, and she was brilliant at setting up expectations for me. Because that way I know what to expect. That way I know what she expects of me. Because if she doesn't tell me, I won't know. We're not mind readers. So we live each day with the understanding that although, you know, you love each other and that you're close to each other, you don't read each other's minds. I'm sorry, but the biology isn't there for a husband and wife to read each other's minds. Be specific on any expectations and be sure you both understand whatever those expectations are. Now, this is can be a parenting tip, regardless of special needs or not, but we found it works for us. Choose who takes point on what. Now, being parents or special needs parents, you have to quickly figure out where each other's skill set resides in regards to parenting the kids. Who will take point dealing with the doctors or going to schools? With finances, with a house, etc. Build on the strengths and know where each other's challenges are. Now, I refer here to number 6, the assume nothing part of this list, is to never assume anything here either. Communication is going to be the biggest key. And if you figure it out so far, 25 years of marriage have taught me one thing, communication is a big issue. Now, as parents, you're partners in this effort, and as such, you need to communicate specific expectations and make sure each other knows what those expectations are. Now, who takes point? Well, my skill set tends to be more in networking and finding answers on a more broader scale. I'm okay with details, but the reality of it is I'm dealing with parenting. I'm more of a, you know, let me see it from a 35,000 foot view. And try to help and find answers. My wife is fantastic at details. She takes points on doctor's appointments and IEP meetings and all that type of stuff. And I'm a support of her efforts. So wherever I need to be to support her efforts, that's what needs to happen. We communicated early on in that. And it's just a matter of where I need to be. And she wants me to be involved at different levels. And she tells me what levels where she needs me to be at. So, for example, in IEP meetings, she primarily takes point. But every once in a while, she wants me to be present, either in support or, I think, out of one time out of 18 years, to take over an IEP meeting. Other than that, no, she takes point. But the communication was there and has been there. And it's a lot easier when you have that simple communication. But this didn't come overnight. You know, it's taken many years for us to find what works for us. And, you know, over the years, you tend to struggle. You try to figure out, did I do right here? Was I consistent on these things? No, we stumbled. We struggled. There were some days, weeks better than others. But, you know, be patient, no matter what. Choose to be patient. Remember that it does take time to find that rhythm between the two of you as things constantly change. Just keep communicating and work through things. Know that whatever it is you as a family are going through, that too shall pass. Whether it's good, sometimes the good things will pass, and quite often the bad things will pass also. But here's a few extra notes. Simple things like love notes, flowers, having a fresh pot of coffee Yeah, that's always nice. But whatever language your loved one recognizes, speak it every now and then, so that they understand that you're there for them and not alone. It's nice to have your calendar full of things you must do. Just remember to schedule a few do-nothing days to focus on each other. That's just as important as your own personal self-care routine. Now, of course, this isn't a comprehensive list, just a short list of reminders. I would just love it if you could just express what you would add to this list. Feel free to leave a comment pretty much anywhere, blog post, send us a direct message, or fill out the contact form on atizabal.com. Would love to hear your responses to this one. What has helped you in your marriage or your relationship if you're married? And for those who are have gone through it and it didn't quite work out, what resonated with you with these notes, and what do you wish you did better, or what happened better? Because I'll probably end up revisiting this topic down the road. Anyways, thank you very much. Have yourself a wonderful day, and stay tuned next week, where, quite frankly, I'm figuring next week out. I'm kind of debating what the next topic's going to be. I have a few in mind. And for that, read the blog post and read the notes on some other things that I'm going to be talking about next. Have yourself a wonderful week. Until next time. This week's podcast was made possible due to our Patreon supporters. If you'd like to help support this podcast and our efforts with Autizable, please consider becoming a patron. A special thank you to the following top supporters for this week's episode, to John, Daryl, and Linda. Thank you very much for your support. Thank you for listening to this edition of Autizable Dads, Life with Autism from a Parent's Perspective. More often than not, we tend to talk a lot with other people. This particular edition is just some insight that I share from my perspective. Feel free to reach out to us at autizable.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, as well as several other social media outlets. You can also become a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/autizable. Thank you.